This is the Florida Spectacular Podcast with your hosts, Kathy Silustri and Rick Kilby. Keep up with Kathy at greatfloridaroadtrip.com and on Twitter and Instagram at Kathy Silustri. Find Rick on Twitter at OldFLA and visit his website, rickkilby.com. Now, discover a Florida you never knew existed.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to this week's episode of Florida Spectacular, the artsy edition. I am all dry from the hurricane. Rick, you are, I see, just still delightfully the same as you were last week. And we have a special guest this week, Chad Scott, who is a freelance arts writer, and he travels the globe, but he does a lot of writing about art in Florida. How you doing, Chad?
I am well. It's nice talking to both of you. And I think one of the most unheralded, perhaps, aspects that makes Florida spectacular is its art scene. There is a lot more to the visual arts. And of course, the literary arts and music are well known throughout Florida. But when visual arts, when we're talking about sculpture and architecture and painting, drawing, there is much, much more to this state than most people realize.
You know, I would tend to agree with that because I think people, when you're a vacation destination for so long, and then, you know, you're a theme park mecca and all these things, beaches, people don't necessarily think about visual arts, but I think we have some really great stuff happening. And I think all the way up from, you know, self-taught to, you know, some higher end stuff, there's definitely a lot going on. Do you have a favorite or something you think really speaks to people that they should know about that they might not?
Well, I think let's start here. Let's start with Miami, which is an obvious place to start. And Miami's evolution as a global contemporary arts destination, mecca, epicenter over the past 20 years or so. Miami is as important to contemporary art as any city in the world other than New York. And that has been the result of what people may or may not have heard of, Art Basel Miami Beach and Miami Art Week. Art Basel Miami Beach is arguably the most important contemporary art fair in the world. It is an annual event held every December, the first week in December, as part of Miami Art Week. And this is where the top art galleries from all over the world, literally all over the world, Hong Kong, Europe, Africa, across North America, come and sell their best work to collectors who come to Miami, many via private jet, from around the world. And Art Basel Miami Beach began in 2002 and rapidly picked up, and as a result of that, an entire ecosystem of art fairs and events has sprung up around it during that first week in December in Miami, making it an essential destination for contemporary art lovers. We can also get into the street art at Wynwood Walls. That is globally significant in the old Wynwood District in Miami. But I think, you know, when you think about Florida and you think about art, you start now and work backwards. And that is Art Basel Miami Beach in Miami, first week of December every year.
That's exciting. I've never been. I've always wanted to. It's kind of one of those things on my life list. Mm-hmm. I just got to talk my wife into going.
Yeah, there are hundreds of thousands of people down there. It is a grotesque display of wealth in many respects. Again, because these are collectors from Paris, London, Geneva, all over the world, New York, San Francisco, Chicago, flying there by private jet, staying in all these incredibly fancy hotels or in private yachts. You know, Miami looks something like Monaco on the water during Art Basel Miami Beach. It is very much a sea to be seen, cocktail, champagne receptions. It is a lot of the worst of the art market. But if you look close, and there are plenty of opportunities for this, you can find some incredible, provocative, compelling, deeply meaningful engagements with art, as you can year-round in Miami, and we can get into that, you know, later on as well.
Is Art Basel where the banana.
Yes.
With salt. Yes, that's what I was thinking. Yeah,
that was, what was that, 2019, 2020, something like that. Maurizio Catalan, a Spanish artist, in kind of this commentary on the contemporary art world. He's a very famous kind of stunt artist, I guess, for lack of a better word. He duct taped a banana to one of the temporary gallery installation walls, and it ended up selling for, I don't know, over $100,000. And it was, you know, this you know, sort of Duchampian, Dada-esque, you know, ready-made art can be anything, art is in the eye of the beholder. But again, I think it was sort of reinforcing the grotesque abundance of outrageous wealth in Miami around the year, but particularly that first week in December for Art Week.
And so, it sold.
Yep.
Which is the funny part to me.
Mm-hmm. Is there stuff there for the common person, though? Like, you know, because I have friends who go every year, and that's how I know about it.
Yeah, and there are a number of the Art Basel Miami Beach is like the tent pole. But because it's so popular, because it has drawn such a crowd, it has brought dozens of other art fairs, art exhibitions, art installations. So Art Basel Miami Beach takes place at the Miami Beach Convention Center. Anywhere you walk from there, it would be hard not to stumble across another fair. Many of those are free. There are exhibitions and installations on the beach all over town. Yes, I a couple of years ago wrote a story of sort of Art Basel Miami Beach for the other half, highlighting all the free events and exhibitions, and there are numerous. So while it does help to have a private jet and a private yacht and a private butler to shop at Art Basel Miami Beach, to attend the event, you know, admission's like $30, $40, $50, depending on what tier you want. But there are a lot of free events during Miami Art Week that you don't have to take out a second mortgage on.
Cool.
So there are other art events as well. I know probably the most well-known outside of Florida is Art Basel, but have you ever been to Gasparilla?
I have not, no.
So that's always a fun exhibit. It has a nice mix of locals, which, you know, sometimes, you know, we do these things where we obviously want to have the best artists no matter where they live at these festivals, but and Gasparilla Festival of the Arts definitely does that, but it also has a nice mix of local artists.
Yeah, one of the great things about Florida, you know, during the spring, summer, and fall, really, there is this circuit of all these art festivals, right? You've got, you know, Atlantic Beach and Cocoa Beach and Fort Lauderdale and Destin and all these little beach towns are going to have some sort of an art festival. Here on Fernandina Beach, it's the Shrimp Festival, where, you know, it's lined up with artists and makers and kind of craft projects. But if you're looking for a festival other than Art Basel Miami Beach and Art Week, I'll give you two. Sarasota Modern, which is an event every November that highlights Sarasota's incredible collection of mid-century modern architecture. And then the Highwayman Art Weekend each February at the A.E. Bacchus Museum in Fort Pierce. Some of the remaining living members of the original Highwaymen come. The predecessors to the originals are there. You can buy original Highwaymen artwork. So that is another great opportunity to connect with, you know, arguably, in my opinion, the most Florida art form, and that is the Highwaymen paintings.
Those are always so, so very popular. And we'll put links to these, of course, in the show notes. What about people who work in Florida? Since we're on the Highwaymen, what about the artists who work in Florida?
Yeah, you know, there is not... The tradition is an interesting one. And it is mostly in the self-taught arena. And you guys had a show on folk art recently, and I hesitate to call all of this folk art, particularly the Highwaymen, because the Highwaymen were very much producing for a market. You know, they were professionals. when you think of folk art, you tend to think of someone working in their barn or their shed or something that really has no intention of ever showing or selling their work. It's just it's almost a meditative practice, a lifestyle. The highwaymen very much were selling artwork. So they are and they are not folk art. But Purvis Young is an incredibly prominent folk artist who spent like 8 years in jail for like a burglary. Obviously, he's black. Obviously, this was, the waning stages of Jim Crow Florida, but he came out of there and went back to the Overtown neighborhood in Miami and just started making things and painting on cardboard and aluminum siding and wherever he could. And then, you know, finally people were like, this is something much more interesting than some ex-con who's just diddling around with spray paint and marker. So Purvis Young is an artist that I think people should be aware of from Florida. And on the opposite end of that is Robert Rauschenberg. Perhaps, he's in that Jasper Johns, Andy Warhol, most significant contemporary artist in the world category. And he lived out his remaining days in Sanibel, Captiva, and the USF Art Museum in Tampa has a lot of his prints and oftentimes exhibits his work. So, I mean, you've got, Purvis Young, kind of this born and bred Florida self-taught artist versus, Rauschenberg on the other side of the state, who was, an immigrant to Florida like so many others, came here later in life, but one of the most prominent artists of the 20th century.
Yeah, I saw a big Rauschenberg show at the Ringling, actually, when he was involved with printmaking at USF. Mm-hmm. He's kind of the who's who of Florida artists for sure. There's so many great places to see art in Florida, yes, though. There's so many wonderful museums. One of the ones that surprises me is the Appleton Museum in Ocala. And, I grew up in Gainesville and we made fun of Ocala, but they have a wonderful art museum that's, not quite as good as the Harn in Gainesville, but on equal footing. What about artists from the past? Are you at all interested in, tradition of people who wintered down here and created art?
Absolutely. And I think when you think about Florida arts and Florida as an arts destination, it's overlooked because we don't have these iconic museums, right? There is no Art Institute of Chicago of Florida. There is no Metropolitan Museum of Art. Once I started getting into art, I was saying, why is this? Well, there was no wealth in Florida. We didn't have the big industrialists. We didn't have the Carnegies and the Morgans and the Rockefellers who created all those wonderful northern art museums, the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C., the Museum of Fine Art in Boston. The wealth of the South was for a long time tied up in human beings, right? And then when that went away, there was not this class of wealthy people who were going to Europe regularly buying Matisse and buying Van Gogh and buying Monet. There is one place in Florida, however, that is like that, and that is the Norton Museum of Fine Art in Palm Beach. Norton is named after Ralph Norton, and he was a wealthy Chicago steel magnate. He came down and he wintered in Palm Beach and eventually brought his art collection down here because he said, there's all this great art already in Chicago and Detroit and Buffalo and these places that, in the early 20th century and the late 19th century were the centers of commerce in America. So if you are interested in modern art, and I've said this before and I stand by it, the Norton Museum of Art in West Palm Beach has the finest collection of modern art in the South, not just Florida, but in the South. If you are into Picasso and Cezanne and Matisse and Modigliani, that is where you want to go. They also have a wonderful contemporary collection, and they have American stuff like Pollock. But to kind of summarize the caliber of their collection, there was a Gauguin exhibit in London at the National Gallery of Art in London, 2 or 3 years ago, the cover image for the exhibition catalog was the Norton Museum of Art's Gauguin painting. That is one of the most prominent, most important, most off-lended and requested pieces of modern art in the entire United States. So, you know, if that's your thing, if you love that kind of turn of the century when art became modern, then the Norton Museum of Art is for you. And if you go, do not miss the Ann Norton Sculpture Gardens, also in West Palm Beach. It's like a mile from there. Ann Norton was the second wife of Ralph Norton, and her home and gardens and studio full of her magnificent sculptures are interpreted and on display there. All of Florida art is a hidden gem. That is a diamond in the rough among the hidden gems. The Ann Norton Sculpture Gardens, whether you're into botany in the gardens or the sculpture, is one of my favorite places in Florida.
It's really a shame that you're not more passionate about it.
Well,
I think,
you know,
that's going to happen for me this year. I think I'm going to go before the end of the year. I'm excited about it, too, because of Chad.
Yeah, well, I love it, and I love the artwork. And, you know, again, I was a sports reporter for 25 years. Okay, I moved to Jacksonville from Atlanta to work at the sports radio station in Jacksonville, and then had what I describe as a professional midlife crisis around the time I turned 40, lost interest in sports entirely, picked up this interest in art out of nowhere. I had no art history classes, and in college, I couldn't draw a circle, still can't. You know, I learned from scratch, didn't have art in the house, but looking changed my life. And I think art is the people's history. And I like to say that art is not for everyone, but it can be for anyone. And whether it's the modern art at the Norton Museum, whether it's contemporary art, and I think the best contemporary art collection in the Southeast, along with the High Museum in Atlanta, is at the Rubel Collection in Miami. So if you're into Keith Haring and Jean-Michel Basquiat and those sort of artists, Kehinde Wiley, living artists or artists, you know, recently deceased, the best collection exists right there. For Florida art, and I know this is a Florida podcast, and you mentioned, Rick, the Harn Museum. The Vickers Collection of Florida Art at the Harn Museum is a permanent display gallery that features the extraordinary art collection of a couple from Jacksonville who collected, you know, over 40 years, 50 years, something like that. They have extraordinary examples of all these famous artists from around the country, like Thomas Moran or N.C. Wyeth, who came to Florida as tourists, as visitors, as snowbirds, painted, and then left. There is a story of Florida in paint you will love and you will find at the Vickers Collection. It's got the best painting of a hurricane I have ever seen. It's right there at the entryway. It's fantastic. The name escapes me at this point. They've got N.C. Wyeth's original artwork cover for The Yearling. There, they do have a fantastic, I believe it's a Harold Newton Highwayman beach scene there. They've got scenes of the Sarasota, the Ringling Circus. If you love Florida more than you love art, but you're kind of interested in art, the Vickers Collection at UF, it's right next to the Natural History Museum. Admission to both is free. So what a great afternoon to take a roll around Gainesville, get some pizza, Kathy, as I know you like to do while you're there, and see two wonderful free museums.
Can I just add a couple things? One, so they did have a big exhibit of the Vickers Collection. Now they just have certain paintings on collection. I think the N.C. Wyeth Yearling painting is still there. There's some of my favorite Florida art ever still there. The Natural History Museum is going to shut down, I believe, next year, which is crazy to me that it's, you know, Florida's Museum of Natural History is going to close for a remodel. Second to the Vickers Collection in that type of art, I think, is the C.C. and Hyatt Brown Collection in Daytona, which is part of the Museum of Arts and Science. According to Gary Monroe, who professes to be an expert on all these type of things, that they got the pieces, the CC and Hyatt Brown got the pieces the Vickers passed on. So it's the same type of art. Mm-hmm. According to Gary, it's not as good, but it's still amazing. And it's a whole museum dedicated to that type of art. Wow. So we're talking like Hermann Herzog and, you know, everything from these incredible landscape paintings from the 19th century to contemporary paintings. Like Milton Avery is the one I was reading about actually this morning, who I believe was a New York artist and came down here and painted a lot of art in a style called tonalism, because we have a small folk art museum in Orlando called the Minello.
Yeah.
And right now they have an exhibit of Milton Avery's wife, who is someone, Michelle, I believe is her name, and kind of highlighting that small movement art called tonalism. So there are little pockets of places you can find throughout the state.
Yeah, like yeah. And I have not been to that museum or the Appleton that you mentioned yet. I have been to the Minello, and they're most renowned for the work of Earl Cunningham, who was kind of a mid-century, again, self-taught folk artist. He had a gallery in St. Augustine and just filled floor to ceiling with stuff, kind of a hoarder. And people would come in there and want to buy stuff, and he wouldn't let them, but sometimes he would. And I mean, it's just one of these really unusual stories, but this incredibly evocative painting of his extraordinary life as kind of a vagabond, let's put it. And his scenes are just extraordinary, and I'll throw some love to another smaller museum in the Orlando area, and that's the Rollins Museum associated with Rollins College there in Winter Park. Again, another a small museum, but absolutely worth your time, especially for the special exhibition collection, which rotates through the school year.
And I'll Rollins is about to build their own building. So right now it's right on campus, and they're about to, again, get even larger. And so, you know, the art scene is blowing up in here in Florida. I think that's that's one of the takeaways. Go ahead, Kathy.
No, I was going to say, as long as we're paused on Rollins, which we almost aren't, but you gotta talk about the L Fund, because the L Fund is the hotel that is in Winter Park, and it's essentially a charity, nonprofit, like the hotel. The money the hotel makes goes to pay for scholarships for Rollins college students, but their whole hotel ends up being a rotating exhibit, because what they do, there's the Elephant Collection of Contemporary Art at Rollins College, and they rotate works from, I believe, Cornell and Rollins. Yeah, they bring in different works in the hotel, and you can actually, you know, believe still get a tour.
Yeah, I've stayed at the Alfond, and it is an extension of the museum. There is no distinction other than the physical space. So, I mean, they've got work from Jean Quictusi Smith in the lobby. She's one of the most prominent Native American contemporary artists. The work from Julie Murray to huge, huge drawing. Work from one of my favorite Florida artists, Marcus Jansen, who lives down in that Fort Myers area. So yes, you can stay at the Alfond, and the artwork there, you know, hotel art gets a bad rap. This is not hotel art.
This is not that at
museum,
all.
Museum caliber art. And the Alfonds, if I'm not mistaken, are the heirs to the Rockport shoe fortune, which is how they came up with all of their money to buy the artworks.
So while we're talking Winter Park, I got to mention two things. The Morse Museum,
yes.
if you this is art from the past. You know, it's Tiffany glass and craftsmanship, and they rotate Burton's artwork as well. It's at the other end of Park Avenue from the Alfond. So, you know, definitely worth a half day visit.
Yep.
And then the Sidewalk Art Festival in Winter Park is one of the best. Mm-hmm. We talked about the Gasparilla. They just had their fall festival. Their fall festival is all Florida artists. And that was last weekend, actually. But the one in March, usually it's right around St. Patrick's Day, is one of the best in the state. And it brings in artists from everywhere.
Yeah. And I think, you know, things about the Florida art scene people don't realize. Everyone's heard of Louis Comfort Tiffany, right? Tiffany Glass. The Morse Museum has, if it's not the largest, it is one of the largest collections of Tiffany glass in the world. Okay, Louis Comfort Tiffany, everyone knows him. Everyone also knows Frank Lloyd Wright. Frank Lloyd Wright, the famous mid-century modern architect. The Florida Southern College in Lakeland has the largest collection of single-site Frank Lloyd Wright architecture in the world. In the world, it's a fascinating story, and you can go and tour that. And the Polk Museum of Art there is also undergoing an expansion and has a special exhibitions program that punches far, far above its weight. I've gone there to see exhibitions on Degas and Henri Toulouse-Lautrec. So, you know, again, another small, out of the way kind of thing, and but incredibly prominent with what it has to show.
Let me ask you something. We talk about the Morse Museum and the Louis Tiffany collection there. I wonder, and I hadn't thought of this until just now, but I do wonder, you know, there used to be a Henry Plant Hotel in Winter Park. It would have sat, as best we can tell, right close to where the Poloshek is in Winter Park now. But moving that line over to Tampa, when Henry Plant built the Tampa Bay Hotel, he filled it with Tiffany. I mean, he had Louis Tiffany do a lot of the design work. And I wonder if that has any relationship as to why a museum by one of his former hotels would be filled with that work.
No, it has to do with the McCains, who were prominent Winter Parkers. And I think one of the McCains studied in Oyster Bay with Tiffany. And when Morse's Tiffany's mansion in Oyster Bay caught on fire and was about to be demolished, McCain took a U-Haul up there and just collected everything he could. And then at one point they established a gallery on Park Avenue, and then they started the Small Morse Museum, and it's grown and grown and grown. And actually they have now kind of recreated the Tiffany Chapel from the Columbian Exposition of 1893, which is something you have to see. And they will dim the lights and then bring the lights back up so you can see it in different lighting conditions. And they have added to the thing, but, you know, basically the collection started from smoldering ruins of Tiffany's house stacked in a U-Haul truck. And that's when they started. But if you want to see the largest, I think it's the largest collection of Tiffany stained glass still in its original location, go to Flagler College, and the dining hall there is all original Tiffany glass. If you tour that, you can see it. And it's like a dorm dining room with Tiffany glass. And it's so amazing. I love it. That's, you know, the tour is 20 some bucks. It used to be. And I just geek out on that stuff.
Yeah. Good call. And while we're on the subject of art, another artist, if you haven't heard the name, you've certainly seen the work. And that's a bold statement, but I'll stand by it. And that's Dale Chihuly. Dale Chihuly is a glass artist from the Seattle area. And if you've ever seen these enormous glass chandeliers or bowls or the squiggly, kind of glass, blown glass forms, the Bellagio Hotel lobby in Las Vegas, there's one at the Norton Museum of Art and Installation in West Palm. But in St. Pete, there is the Chihuly Collection at the Morian Arts Center. And this is as fine a single site display of Chihuly artwork as exists in the country. And I've been to the Chihuly Gardens and Glass Studio in Seattle, where he's from, and what they have in St. Pete is every bit as good. These vivid, stunning, you know, bigger than a person. I mean, you just cannot imagine how blown glass is worked into these sort of colors and these sort of shapes. And that is right there in St. Pete. St. Pete, which, you know, again, also over the past 20 years, probably even more recently than that, maybe 15, and Kathy, you'd have a better feel on this being there, has developed into one of the great arts communities, I say, in the country. You know, I get to travel all over the country to visit art exhibitions and fairs and festivals and museums, and people ask, well, what, of course, you know, New York, of course, San Francisco, of course, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Miami. But when I start talking about places that are arts destinations that have wonderful artist communities, street art, museums that most folks would not think of, St. Pete, Florida is always at or near the top of that list.
All right. Well, I'm so glad you mentioned St. Pete, and I'm glad you mentioned the Chihuly, because the Chihuly is beautiful, and St. Pete definitely has grown up quite a bit But there are a few things at the Morian. The one of the ones I wanted to briefly touch on is there's this great exhibit every year. I think they're in their seventh year, Fresh Squeezed, and it's Emerging Artists in Florida.
Yeah.
And they're going into, I guess they've had their eighth year. They're probably going into their ninth year, but it celebrates all Florida artists. And that's another thing. You can buy this ticket for the Morian that includes Morian Clay, Morian Art Center. You can see Fresh Squeeze. You can go see the Chihuly collection. It's all very compact. But yeah, St. Pete has been incredible. One of the things, and I grew up with it, so you don't think about it because, you know, the big thing now is the Dalí Museum, Salvador Dalí. Now, appreciate surrealism.
Right.
Well, I mean, I appreciate surrealism, but, you know, growing up, the Dalí Museum was not in this beautiful building. It was in what is now a part of the University of South Florida's Harbor Hall and its classrooms. And it was, you know, housed in a famous, it used to be the Great Exploration Children's Museum, and it was in this very nondescript building. And so when they announced, I don't know how many years ago, they were going to build this massive thing, I remember very ignorantly thinking, how the hell, you know, I like the stuff, but how many melting clocks can you look at before you... You know, it's like, Jesus, how much money are they putting into this? It's prime location. And I have been gloriously wrong, because one of the best things they do, they, of course, have the permanent collection mm-hmm. of Salvador Dali's works. But the exhibits they do really stand it on its edge. And it makes you see how much surrealism permeates culture.
Yeah.
One of the ones that I thought was ridiculous until I went to see it was Dali and Disney. Salvador Dali actually worked at Walt Disney Animation Studios for a very short time. But they did this beautiful exhibit, and they showed all this work of Walt Disney animators that really drew very heavily from the Surrealism School. They did another one with Vogue fashion photography. They did another one with Ferran Adria. I mean, they have done these incredible exhibits that really make you think about Surrealism different. And does it have a Florida tie? Not really.
Not
other
really,
than the museum is here, and it doesn't have to.
Right. And I think it's one of the great examples of civic leadership and vision, arguably in American history, because there was a collector couple from the Northeast, I think New York, mid-century, who collected Dali in extraordinary volume. They became friends with the artist. And Salvador Dali was one of these artists like Warhol, who's incredibly famous in his own time. I mean, he is a celebrity artist. And this couple was doing its estate planning. And they essentially said, we want the collection to stay together. And anyone willing to do that and create a building for it, we will gift you this greatest collection of Dali artwork outside of Europe for nothing. Take it. We just want it to stay together and be available to the public and to be preserved and conserved and interpreted. And any city in the country could have bid on that. LA could have bid on it. Chicago, Detroit, Dallas, Denver. St. Pete said, and this is St. Pete, you know, in the 90s, you know, when St. Pete was not much, said, we'll shoot our shot. And they got it. And it has become one of the most highly regarded, most oft visited, and most well-respected museums in the world, particularly for a single artist and one of the most famous single artists. No, there is zero connection to Florida. But St. Pete raised its hand and said, we're going to take a swing. And it changed the trajectory of that city. What a remarkable example of civic leadership.
No, I mean, it was, people don't realize in the 90s how incredibly dodgy downtown St. Pete was. I lived in Clearwater, and I was in junior college, and I had a part-time job for like a gambling ship, that's like a day ship that went out of the St. Pete Pier. And I primarily worked out of one of the Barrier Islands offices because they had two boats. And I could make more money if I went down and worked the ticket office there. And I remember my friend worked it with me, and both of our parents were crystal clear. St. Pete Pier, mind you, and this is in the early 90s. Yeah, okay, you can go down there to work, but you have to, you take the trolley or you walk to your car while it's light. You park in a pier parking lot. And as soon as you get in, you make sure your windows are up and your doors are locked, and you don't even roll down your windows till you get on the interstate. Like, so the idea that a city that was like that would commit to something. It really, it had a lot of forethought. And I think it's paid off very well. I mean, it's a joy.
Without question. Downtown St. Pete is one of the few walkable cities in Florida. And that evolution occurred much later, again, in the mid-2000s, 2010s-ish. And it was an evolution largely fueled by street art and by murals and by artists moving their studios into downtown. There was all this available vacant commercial buildings and walls, and the city again said, let's turn this over to artists, let's make this an open air art museum. St. Pete has one of the best civic mural programs in the world, mirroring what took place at Wynwood Walls in Miami. And the murals went up, the artists came in, a couple of galleries started, then it's some craft breweries, then it's a restaurant, then it's now all of a sudden downtown St. Pete is totally hopping. Dalí Museum's over there. The pier was just
redone.
Yeah, it was not renovated. It was redone. That was, again, 2019, 2020, 2021, somewhere around there. Museum of Fine Arts is down there. There's a Western Art Museum down there. You've got the Chihuly Collection, you know, a mile or so from there. St. Pete really has it going on. And the arts, without question, was the tip of the spear that created that.
And I have to mention one of my favorites, the American Museum of Arts and Crafts, which is a brand new building with a restaurant. Mm-hmm. I think it's four floors, just packed with America. You know, if you love that style of artwork, it has some of the best examples you've ever seen. And the building itself has this stunning spiral staircase right in the middle of it. And it's right in the middle. And I would say also, you talked about the pier. There's this wonderful art installation, Cloud something or other. So it's a great place to look at art. I hate to say it. I love the inverted pyramid. That was probably when Kathy was taking her life in her own hands, going down there.
Yes.
I think Bill Harvard was the architect, and I love that. And I remember going down there. It was like, you know, one of the, like a mall that was, you know, in its death throes. That's what it was like. It had an aquarium, the whole building stunk. But what they have done with that space is incredible. And there's, you know, public art, and it is a wonderful place. We should be getting money from the St. Pete Chamber of Commerce.
I'll reach out. They're a little busy right now.
I think so.
I can
Crane
imagine.
Fell on their city last week.
Yeah. But, so you know, we've talked a little bit about Miami and Orlando and St. Pete. I want to highlight, you know, near where I live, real quick, Jacksonville, the other, you know, kind of largest city in the state. Kummer Museum of Art here is a solid permanent collection. The gardens are what draw most people. It backs up to the St. John's River, and they've got these Olmsted designed gardens. They've got an Italian garden, I think an English garden, fantastic Instagram spots. And when the weather is pleasant, to go out there and enjoy a cocktail and look at the water. But I think the Kummer Museum of Art has the best special exhibition program in the state. And for Jacksonville to have that over Tampa, St. Pete, Orlando, and Miami is a really, really big deal. The special exhibitions that come into the Kummer are outstanding. And my favorite painting in the state is Mildred Thompson's Magnetic Fields at the Kummer. Mildred Thompson's from the Jacksonville area, African-American female artist, worked in the late 20th and early 21st century. And this painting, I won't go into all the details. Kathy, I'll send you a link to put in the show notes of my sort of opining on this artwork. But it's worth the admission alone. My favorite painting in all of Florida is that one by Mildred Thompson. My second one is a Randall Davey portrait of Paul Robeson at the MFA in St. Pete. And they've always got that one on view. Paul Robeson, this wonderful performer, civil rights activist, athlete, maybe my favorite portrait in art history.
And then don't they have the Thomas Moran Ponce de Leon painting too, the big...
The Kummer does, yes,
yeah.
And an incredibly problematic picture in a lot of ways, because it shows a very magnanimous Ponce de Leon, a very statesman-like, I come in peace, conquistador, greeting the local native population, which would be Timaquan, at that time. And the Timaquan are dressed in their giant head feathers, the giant headdresses of the Plains Indians. And you can imagine how difficult it would have been to walk through the Florida saw palmetto scrub with a giant eagle feather headdress with a 7-foot train. So that picture is obviously a total phony baloney BS construct.
Scam.
Moran knew better. He had been out west. He knew the native people on the east coast of Florida would not have dressed that way. But that was the mythology that he wanted to promote as a settler colonial artist, and this peaceful interaction between the Spanish conquistadors and the Timucuan dressed in their Sioux finery.
So what is the Cork District? I've heard about that in Jacksonville.
Cork Art District is studios, and they open once a month, and folks can tour, and it's fun to go through artist studios and that sort of thing. You know, the Jacksonville art scene, candidly, is decades behind the rest of the state. I mean, Miami came first, St. Pete followed. West Palms has that very wealthy old money tradition. Jacksonville has not gotten its act together. And it's candidly a community, and I've lived here in the area since 2012, that does not value the arts broadly, value sports. Getting a new stadium for the Jaguars, got the Florida Georgia game, the Players Championship golf tournament. You know, we've got a lot of great world-class sporting events. The community has not valued or invested in the arts to the same degree, or to any degree in the same zip code.
Interesting. Well, and one more thing I want to give a shout out to is something that, because the Orlando Museum of Art has taken a hit recently, mm-hmm. but they do something every year called the Florida Prize,
yes.
where when they do it and they put the artwork on display, it's worth coming out to see. They do a great job, and they award, you know, these are young emerging artists from Florida, and very edgy stuff. A lot of it, most of it is installations. And so you have to really see it in person. You can't look at pictures of it and kind of get a sense of it. Yeah. But I went for the first time this year and was blown away.
Yeah. One more before we move along. We talked a little bit about architecture with Frank Lloyd Wright in Lakeland and the Sarasota Modern. And everyone knows about this, but doesn't connect it to art, you know, for whatever reason. And that's, of course, the Art Deco in Miami Beach and the Miami Design Preservation League. And they do tours all of the time. There is a wonderful small art. I mean, again, another, this gem is so hidden, you know, even people who find hidden gems can't find the Wolfsonian Museum in Miami Beach, associated with Florida International University, a fantastic little art museum, always worth your time if you're ever in Miami Beach. But again, think of Art Deco architecture and those portholes and the lines and the neon. That's Florida. That's Miami, you know, Miami Vice, that whole aesthetic of the neon pink and the greens. That is architecture. That is, you know, fine art architecture. And another example from Florida that we are all aware of, but don't. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Florida art. Okay. Now I get it. Now I get it. And that's spectacular.
Chad, I feel like you haven't had a breath in 40 minutes, man.
He's a little passionate about it. And I want to add to the Wolfsonian. Sign up for their email newsletter if you're into decorative arts. It's one of the best. And they put out a blog kind of newslettery thing every couple of weeks, I think. But it's superb if you're into that kind of stuff. They have this deep collection of you know, graphic design type stuff. And I've never visited in person, but now Chad's getting me all fired up. I think I've got a trip to South Florida in my future.
There's Absolutely. So much we didn't even talk about. I mean, there's some others that we didn't talk about. The underwater art exhibit. We didn't talk about anything really in the panhandle. I mean, there's, you know, that's different, but I think there's definitely room for a part two on this.
I think we need
be happy to join. Yeah,
we tend to overlook the panhandle a lot on this show, and I know that's a fault, and you do a better job than I do. But you know, maybe we should get somebody like a representative from the panhandle just to get us more panhandle centric.
We can think about that next time. Right now, we have our massive list of art museums and places to do. I have been doing my best to keep up for the show notes. So I'm going to, we'll try and include everything for our listeners in the show notes. And want to just remind people, if they have a question about anything Florida or Florida art, they can always hit us up. Kathy, C-A-T-H-Y, at floridaspectacular.com. I am not going to attempt to answer art questions, but I will be able to reach out to Chad and do it. And I think that's about it. Chad, thank you so much for being with us today and inspiring us and being such a great ambassador of the Florida art scene.
My pleasure. And if anyone is looking for a second Florida podcast, try Welcome to Florida with myself and Craig Pittman.
Craig Pittman, that guy. I feel like I know him.
Chad, do you have a blog?
Seagreatart.art.
I'm amazed that Chad is always going around the country and finding art everywhere he goes, and it's exciting.
I agree. I like traveling. So anyway, folks, that's all for us this week. We will see you next time on Florida Spectacular.